Good evening. Well, Graham, welcome to the Space Show.
Good evening.
Now, you've been doing some interesting research on early life on the Earth and how it might have originated and how you can find it out.
What we've been doing is looking at fossil molecules. These are more familiar to people, for example, as crude oil. And we've been looking at the compounds that you find in oil, but we've been looking at them in a mineral deposit. And this mineral deposit is in the Northern Territory of Australia at MacArthur River. And it's a lead-zinc mineral deposit. And what we've been doing is using the techniques we commonly use in the oil industry to look for fossil molecules in and around the ore deposit, which was formed 1.6 billion years ago.
What do you mean by a deposit?
It's now a mine, but what we mean is that a period of time, and for this particular example, 1.6 billion years ago, ore began to form. So lead and zinc formed in the sediment 1.6 billion years ago.
You mentioned that we found these fossil molecules. What are fossil molecules?
Fossil molecules are molecules made up of carbon and hydrogen. They are about 10 to maybe 40 carbon atoms in size, and they form in life in the cell wall of an organism. So for example, in your cell walls you have a molecule called cholesterol, and we can find fossil examples of cholesterol in sediments. And just as you have cholesterol, groups of bacteria have other different compounds which form exactly the same function. So we can recognize these different life forms in the sediments by looking for these fossil molecules.
And you've been able to apply this into the industry as well?
It's commonly used in the petroleum industry, and the reason that we use it in the petroleum industry is we were interested in the environments where oil formed. In are oils different from one another? So for example, if you're exploring in an oil field, it's important to know, have you got two different sorts of oil, because that dictates your exploration policy. In the example that we've been doing just recently, we've applied this technique in the minerals industry to find out what life was like in the past when the minerals deposit was forming.
Why is life important to the mineral industry?
Well, in the case of the lead zinc deposit, the fluid which formed the ore was actually reacting with organic matter in the sediment. So you want to know what sort of organic matter it was reacting with. And ultimately, that leads you to understand what sort of life existed in the past.
And does that help the mineral industry find new mines and things like that? And the oil industry to find new oil?
Certainly with the oil industry, it's a lot more simple, and the answer would be yes, it certainly helps exploration. With the minerals industry, it's a bit more complex because the technique is very new to the minerals industry. And we hope ultimately it will lead to a greater understanding of why and where the deposits form, and therefore help you predict where to look.
And are oil deposits being formed today, and mineral deposits still being made today, or is it something that's happened only in the past?
Indeed, oil is forming at different locations around the globe today. One of the areas where oil forms currently is around hydrothermal systems on the sea floor, and the mineral system that we were looking at is very analogous to that sort of situation. Sometimes you see natural history programs where the submarine dives down to the sea floor and you see black smokers pumping out mineral. That sort is the sort of situation that we're looking at 1.6 billion years ago with this particular example. And when that's happening, the hot temperatures of the fluids actually generate what's called a hydrothermal petroleum. It's generated, the hot temperatures of the fluid actually cause oil to form, And that's what we've actually been looking at.
And Graham, what was that life like?
Well, the life that formed the oil around this mineral deposit was very simple life. What you have to remember is that we are a billion years before animal life existed on Earth. So the life was bacterial and single-celled algae. And one of the groups of organisms that we see today was a group of organisms called cyanobacteria. And that might be more familiar to people in news stories, for example, last year at Swan River, where they have a toxic algal bloom. And that algal bloom was cyanobacteria. So those were very common organisms a long time in the past. We've also found other forms of bacteria living on the sea floor, which form bacterial mats. And sometimes, again, in natural history programs, you can sometimes see these forming white or yellow films across the sediment around these black smokers. And they're a group of organisms called sulfide oxidizing bacteria. And they're very significant because they mean that the concentration of oxygen in the water column was actually very low.
Do you find evidence that this, you know, the microbial life forms you've been looking at have changed since the beginning of the Earth, or have they been pretty much the same for billions of years?
Well, this is an interesting question. The organisms that we've been looking at are all present today. If we look in rocks that are even older than this, we still see many of the groups of organisms that we would expect to see today in the groups of bacteria. So in the rocks that we can currently examine, which are 2.7 billion years old, we still see all the forms of life that we would expect in single-celled life forms. We see bacteria, we see eukarya, which are the group of organisms that we belong to, multicellular life belongs to, and they form single-celled algae. And we find archaea, which are groups of organisms which live under extreme conditions, either extreme temperature, extreme pressure, or extreme salinity. And they also are involved in making methane, for example.
Do you find any evidence in the work that you're doing for how life began on Earth?
Not specifically, and it's actually a very hard thing to examine, because as you go back in time, the very old rocks become much rarer, and so it's very difficult to find rocks old enough to really address that issue.
And has your work been taken note of by those who would be interested in looking for similar life forms on other planets?
Indeed. Recently we were approached by a group of researchers at Stanford University. They had a technique which was used, for example, on the Martian meteorite, which there were claims of life on Mars based on this Martian meteorite about 5 years ago. And they had found organic molecules with their particular technique, and they wanted then to test their technique on rocks from the Earth which had simple life forms. So they wanted to look at very ancient rocks, and they wanted to look for what sorts of signals that they should be expecting to see if they had a life signal in an extraterrestrial sample.
Do you think that we might find evidence of that on material from Mars? And what do you think of that Alan Hill's meteorite that was suspected to have this material in it?
Well, I think the Alan Hill's meteorite is a fascinating subject. I think that the data that was being reported to support evidence for life is in each part of that data quite arguable. However, that doesn't mean to say that life didn't exist on Mars. The evidence in the Allen Hills meteorite, for example, for the bacterial life forms is certainly highly controversial. And personally, I don't accept it as good evidence for life at all. However, about 3 billion years ago on Mars, the conditions were such that life could very well have existed. And I think if the conditions were there, then we know that the life evolved when the conditions were right on our planet. And I think it's quite likely that life did exist on Mars. But again, it would be a very simple, single-celled type of life form. It wouldn't be little green men.
The instrumentation you've been using to find this evidence, could it be scaled? Well, first of all, how big is it, and could it be scaled to be put on a spacecraft?
The particular the work, for example, with the group in Stanford, the answer is no, because it's a very large piece of equipment involving different lasers and vacuum equipment and very sensitive mass spectrometer.
So what we're talking about, say, a bedroom-sized piece of equipment or set of equipment?
It might fit within a bedroom, but it's not something that you would necessarily put on a lander, for example. But mass spectrometers, the instruments that we use to detect molecules, certainly have been sent to Mars in the past and will be sent again.
So we're really looking, if we want to find out whether life did exist on Mars, getting samples back from Mars?
The most exciting prospect for people interested in astrobiology is potentially a return mission from Mars. And that is becoming more and more likely. And what we would hope is that a mission could send back rock samples that could be examined by various geochemical techniques that we understand very well today, and that hopefully we will be able to look for signs of life on those return samples.
How realistic is it that we might find the right rock and bring it back to Earth? Could we, for example, use the same robotic techniques to go out and pick up our rocks here on Earth that you would be using them to analyse?
Well, finding the right site to land, I think, is a very hot topic. One of the areas that we have evidence for unusual life forms on Earth, and the very earliest life forms, are hydrothermal systems. And that's another reason why the Stanford group were interested in looking at a fossil hydrothermal system where the ore deposit formed. We can use remote sensing techniques to look for potential ore deposits and hydrothermal systems on Mars, and hopefully choose them as landing sites for return missions.
When do you think we might do that?
I would hope in the next 10 to 15 years, but NASA is the person that would control the budget, and it's up to them.
So you're looking forward to getting your hand on a piece of Mars rock?
I would personally love to.
Well, thanks, Graham, for joining us on The Space Show.
Thank you very much.